Baruch Hashem, during this period of time of graduation, there's a tremendous amount of family responsibility. So there's a lot of graduations. As you know, on Sunday, there's also nursery graduations, so, which went longer than expected this morning. And also the traffic is very bad. I just wanted to mention a couple of yisodot about Havdalah. We've been learning this year in the Shir Kolis, we've been learning the mitzvot aseh of Shabbat. So I thought it was appropriate, the last Friday before everybody goes. Certainly Havdalah is a proper topic. And we'll just say a little bit of Torah on that. Nothing too deep, but the Gemara says that when you say goodbye to somebody, you should say it mitoch divrei Torah. So it's a proper way to end the Zaman. I just want to ask everybody, if they can, before they leave today, obviously you're taking your own Sfarim and throwing away the garbage and all that. If you see any Sfarim of the yeshiva, please put them back in their appropriate place. And if, God forbid, someone by accident borrowed a Sefer that they took home and they find it over the course of Shabbos or some other time, it's impossible, of course, but if, by, you know, a miracle, it came to your house, please return it. Please return it, because we want to fill in, especially journals. God forbid, people should not take journals, but I want to fill in some of the journals over the summer. Okay. Let's talk about some of the yisodot of the mitzvah of Havdalah. The first question that we have to ask ourselves is, Havdalah, mitzvah, is it a mitzvah d'oraita or d'rabbanan? Is it an obligation in a Torah or not? The Rambam takes a very clear view of this. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, as well as in the Yad HaChazakah, takes the position that it is a mitzvah d'oraita. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot says, Yishit sivanu l'kadesh et HaShabbat. Under the rubric of the mitzvah of Kiddush, the Rambam says, there's a mitzvah to be mekadesh the Shabbos. V'lomar dvarim b'knisato u'b'yitziato. Both at the beginning and at the end. Havdalah is a subsection of Kiddush. There's not a separate mitzvah called Mitzvah Kuf Nun Hei Kiddush and Mitzvah Kuf Nun Vav Havdalah. It's part and parcel of the unit. You want to sandwich the day. How do you set it apart? How do you make this a holy day? You do it by the beginning and the end. Niskor bam godel hayo u'malato v'hevdelo mishar hayamim hakodmim mimenu. You speak of its greatness, its specialness, its uniqueness, and its distinction from the rest of the week. So for the Rambam, there's no individual mitzvah of Havdalah. Havdalah is under the rubric of Zechira. That's a very important point we're going to get back to. It's based on the pasuk of Zochor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsha. So according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa based on that principle. The Rambam says the same thing in the Yad HaChazakah, in Perek Chof Tes in Hilchos Shabbos. Mitzvahs esei min ha'tor l'kadosh yom ha'Shabbos b'dvarim. Shenemar zochor yom kadosho. Zochreyu zechiras shevach v'kiddush. V'tzorach l'zochreyu b'knisato u'b'yitziato b'knisato b'kiddush hayom u'b'yitziato b'havdala. Okay, and that's very straight. The Rambam is consistent. The other extreme, there's a position that says, it's quoted by a number of Achronim, that says, what are you talking about? Number of Rishonim, there's no such thing as a mitzvah min haTorah. The mitzvah of Kiddush is Kiddush. The mitzvah of Kiddush is a very nice creation of the Rambam. But fundamentally, the mitzvah of Kiddush is d'oraisa, but Havdalah is a pure rabbinic construct. Those are the two extreme positions, so to speak.
He said that?
It's cited by the Magid Mishnah, and the name, he just cites it, he doesn't quote who says it. It's cited by the Magid Mishnah, Al Atar. V'yesh o'imrim sh'avdola eino elo midivrei sofrim, avala kiddush u'dvar teira. Okay? There's another position that's quoted, there's an interesting Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Yud Chet, one of those rabbinic hyperboles. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Kol ha-mavdil al-hayayim b'motzoi Shabbos, havin lo barnim zecharim. You will have male children, which of course in the rabbinic mindset was a very positive thing. to have male children rather than female children. Dichtiv lahavdil bein hakodesh ubein achol. The last pasuk in Parsha Shmini says lahavdil bein hakodesh ubein achol. V'samich lei isha ki tazriya v'yalda, etc. Very cute drasha. That since right after lahavdil bein hakodesh ubein achol, which is talking about kashrus and it's talking about other things, you're smiling, right? But it's a
now I'll start saying Abdullah.
Why? Because you want to have girls. See how much kavanah I have during Abdali. See what happens. You have a lot of kavanah.
Abdullah with wine.
Right, and it says Abdullah with wine. So with Abdullah with wine. So how do you love banim zcharim?
What happens if you're underage?
What happens if you're underage?
You should be underage.
Yeah. Then you have out of wedlock. No. You're having wine out of age or children out of age? Dichtiv. Now again, the question is, do you take this agadita literally, seriously, is it a real muck, or is it a kind of nice throwaway agadita? The Pashtus is a nice throwaway agadita, it's not necessarily a mucker. But it's interesting that if you look, a number of people cite this, the Magid Mishnah cites this as a source, that potentially, this is the source of the mitzvah of Havdalah. This is the mitzvah of Havdalah.
Is it asmachta?
No, there's some people who take it not as an asmachta, which is the simple reading, but that mamish take it as a real source, and they quote this as a source. Okay? He says this. The Magen Mishnah says. He says, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. He says, even though some people say that the Kiddush analogy is crazy, the first parak of Shavuos, the Lashon Mechilta, blah, blah, blah. So he quotes that there are people who say it's Doiraisa, but it's based on Lahavdil, Bein HaKodesh Ubein HaChol. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gado, Moshe Mikutzi, one of the Balei HaTesefis, says that there's a third makor. Most Smad says the makor of Havdalah as a Doraisa is because in Parashat Vayitro it says Zachor Tiyom Shvat L'Kadsho, and in Parshat Vayetchanan it says V'Zacharta Ki Eved Ha'isa Be'eretz Mitzrayim in relationship to Shabbos. So the two Zachors teach me, one teaches me Kiddush and one teaches me Havdalah. Fascinating, fascinating mucker. One teaches me Kiddush, and one teaches me Havdalah. You have to remember Shabbos twice, it says. And one is supposed to remind. It's interesting. I mean, you could say a lot of interesting things. The Zacharta is supposed to remind you about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim was when Am Yisrael became an Am. I mean, he doesn't say this, but you could say a beautiful drasha. The pasuk of Zacharta, Ki Ever Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim, is when Am Yisrael became an Am. That's when they became a people, the corporate entity of the Jewish people. It's a very important concept. I was just on the train, on the bus, taking a long time. I was reading an article, worthwhile, if you get a chance, read the new commentary. There's an article about what happened to the Jewish people. Jack Wertheimer and Stephen Cohn, the two demographers. Jack Wertheimer is a friend, from up here, near us here at JTS, and he's a real expert, and Stephen Cohen's a very powerful essay about the nature of Jewish peoplehood today and the waning of that sense of Jewish peoplehood for individual religious expression even within more traditional circles. A very interesting essay. Anyway, so we have three Makairis for Havdalah. What could potentially be the nafkamina between the three Makairis? Whenever you have Makorot, methodological point, whenever you have Makorot, one of the methodological points when you learn is potentially they might yield different conclusions halachically. Right. So what do you think, Maurice?
I just have a question. The first Makorot is the Rambam?
The Rambam. It's based on a Mechilta, but the Rambam is really the one who extends it and says that Havdalah is a subset under the mitzvah of Kiddush. Okay? Yeah. What do you think? Ah, beautiful. So one possible nafkamina is the whole question of women in Havdalah. Are women chayiv in Havdalah? The Gemara in Brachos, as I'm sure everybody knows, Gemara in Brachos Daf Chav says that it says Zachar v'Shamor. According, right? Hmm. Rabbinic tradition, they were said at the same time. And the Gemara comes with the beautiful klal called Sheyeshno b'Shmira Yeshno b'Zchira. Anybody who's forbidden to engage in the prohibitions of Shabbos, anyone who's enjoined from Chilul Shabbos, is automatically chayav in the positives of Shabbos. Kol sheyeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'schira. So women, even though in general we say that women are padur from mitzvahs esei shazman grama, however, when it comes to Kiddush, the Gemara says explicitly, Kiddush, women are chayav dvar Torah. That's the language of the Gemara and Brachos, that women are chayav midai raisa in Kiddush. Kol sheyeshna b'schira, kol sheyeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'schira. Okay? And therefore, in many Hillels throughout the country, as we mentioned, it's the big deal in order to include women and give voice to make sure that women are feel part and parcel of the ritual. Women make Kiddush in many Hillels throughout this country Friday night. Have you seen such a thing? Yes, I've seen such a thing. Yes, what? At Chovei Shabbaton it happened at one of the meals. Right, correct. Yes.
Who did that?
I don't know. Got to take their number down. Okay.
Well, I was just going to say, my wife's grandmother has always said to her that a woman cannot do Abdallah no matter
what. Oh, so let's get...
male children. And she always says that.
Right, because you're not going to have male children.
She's European. Right,
so. She's European. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that even though women are also chayav in Kiddush, doesn't make sense? Doesn't like the Vilna Gaon say, even though they're chayav, like they shouldn't do it?
No. You're talking about... Rabbi Kiva Eger raises a question about Arevus, about whether women can be motzi men. That's a separate issue. Mm-hmm. Because that's a question of yatsa motzi and other things when men go to shul. And that's a whole different... We talked about this in one of the shiurim. We talked about that Kiva Eger.
Isn't it but, a night also to the men? It's like a little bit...
The Gemara never says such a thing.
Not the Gemara.
I'm sorry? The Gemara never says such a thing. So you make, you know... You can make up that, but the Gemara never says such a thing, so we don't go in that.
There's some.
No, by Birkas Hamazon, the Gemara talks about Tavo Me'era and things like that, but no. Okay, so if you say, Pashtus, if you say like the Rambam, that it is a Doraisa based on Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, then what should be the conclusion? Women are Chayiv. And the Chayivan and Pashtus, they should be able to be motzi men without any question. And that's the position of many, many Rishonim, that women are chayav in Havdalah, and women can be motzi men, etc., etc. On the other hand, if you say that it's a derabbanan, it's a pure derabbanan, then maybe, potentially, maybe women are exempt. Because if it's a regular, it's not under the rubric of Kiddush, maybe it's not under the rubric of Zohar, it's simply a takonas chazal. If it's takonas chazal, maybe it has the separate categories, and therefore maybe women are also exempt, because women are exempt from mitzvahs man grama. Now this is predicated, you should know, of course, some people don't realize, you know that there's a machlokas rishonim in Brachos, whether the principle of mitzvahs asei shazman grama, women are exempt for, applies to mitzvahs derabbanan or not. There are a number of rishonim who say that principle only applies to mitzvahs d'oraisa. But the principle, it's kind of weird, counterintuitive. But there are Rishonim who say that women, when Chazal or Mitaki, Mrs. Rabban, they included women. Interesting. It's my focus Rishonim.
For example, that women would...
No, those are different. Meaning during the other days, except for the first day. Theoretically.
So we're a puncher in the first day, but Chayav...
Right, theoretically. Okay. Rashi says this explicitly. Can someone give me a Gemara in Brachos? Someone give me a Gemara in
Brachos.
I love it. You said you would. Sure. What gave you that? Rashi Daf Chav. Rashi Chav Daf. Daf Chav from a
what say is this from the MIA? Yeah.
Drew, if you want to pass these around. Take one.
You find it. It's Philip Shita.
One side of the...
I can't find it. Rashi lo garislei. Shavei tefil d'rabbani umay mitzvah shayich bay. Oh yeah, Tosfos quotes this Rashi. Tosfos over there in Shabbos says, b'tefila pshita that women are exempt. Kevin l'ksiv erev vok v'tzarayim asich v'en kimitzvah siman grama havi. Kamashvon derach mininu. But Rashi lo garislei. Rashi doesn't have the Gemara's discussion that maybe women are exempt from tefillah, kamash malan, that they're chayv in tefillah because it's rachme, because even women need to pray for their life. But Rashi lo garislei shari tefillah d'rabbanan hi, umay mitzvah saseh shaychaba. Women, of course, are included in tefillah, which is the rabbanan. Because what mitzvah say? And therefore there's some Rishonim who understand this to say that, enough and on. Okay, so I'm saying, but obviously we don't follow that. Most Rishonim say that women are patur even from mitzvah shesman grama. So therefore, ostensibly, if you said that Havdalah is a pure derabbanan, maybe women would be totally exempt from it. Now, even though they're exempt from it, even according to this, ostensibly they should be allowed to say it. They should be allowed to make the bracha. Meaning, even if you hold their exempt, they should be allowed to do it themselves.
For themselves.
Okay? According to the people who say that it's the Oraisa, but it's based on other psukim, lahavdil bein ha-cholu bein ha-kodesh, or v'zacharta, v'zacharta, or something like that, then, again, you could probably say it's a mitzvah seisha zman grama, so maybe women aren't chayv. So this is the way, kind of, the cookie crumbles on this issue. According to the Rambam, it should be for sure that women are chayv. According to others, probably women should be exempt. But even if you're exempt, ostensibly it should be the classic Sephardi Ashkenazi divide. That Sephardim, at least according to Maran HaMechaber, and Rav Ovadia wants to restore that to practice, and Rabbi Trait also, I didn't know he was on this Shita, that Maran HaMechaber, that women should not, because of the Rambam, right, of course. I didn't think because of Rav Ovadia, right. Okay. So that women, Sephardi women, should not make a bracha that they're exempt from, because they can't say Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah Mitzivanu. On the other hand, Ashkenazim, our practice is that even though women are exempt from Sukkah and Lula, not Sukkah, Lulav and other things, that women still make the bracha when they take it, because just because you're putter doesn't mean that you're not in the rubric of mitzvahs. However, we have a very strange Ramah. The Ramah writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Nashim chayavot b'havdala, k'shem shechayavot b'kiddush, Rambam. V'yesh mi shecholek. There are those who say, no, Havdala is the Rabbanan. Therefore, since Havdala is the Rabbanan, women are exempt, they're not chayav. Comes the Ramah and says, Alkein lo yavdilu le'atzman, rak yishma'u havdala min ha'anashim. That's what the Ramah comes and says. All the Nosei Kel in the Ramah go crazy and say, what's going on here? Why is it any different than all the other mitzvah saseh, even if you hold that it's a mitzvah saseh zman grama, and women are exempt, and it's not under the rubric of kol sheyeshno b'zchir, yeshno b'shmir, yeshno b'zchir. Why are women exempt? The Bach says, he doesn't understand. Ubach katav, afilu mandomer, shepturos, mikomakom yichom lahav, dilatzmakom shofar v'lulav. So the Magen Avraham introduces this very difficult chiluk, where he says, "V'efshar didas ramah b'mitzvah sheyesh bo asiya rishoyim laso sulavarech, abul bedorish ein ba'el bracha kigon kan ein rashos." So the Magen Avraham throws in a chiluk out of left field. It's kind of hard to understand what's the svara behind it. That if a mitzvah that has an act to it. So since women are exempt from the mitzvah, but once they do the mitzvah upon themselves, they can also make the bracha. But if the entire mahut ha-mitzvah, the entire essence of the mitzvah is itself a bracha, then women are not allowed to do it. Why?
It's like,
how do you want to understand it? What do you think?
Is there permission to say, Rabbi Nathan's permission for them to say the bracha Asher Kiddushanu, it's only for the asiyah that they're going to be doing. So if there's no asiyah, the Rabbi Nathan's Hetzer doesn't apply.
But why? If the Asiya is itself the bracha, you take it upon yourself to do the Havdalah. Chazal were mitaking this mitzvah in the form of an Amira. There's Amira mitzvahs, there's thinking mitzvahs, emotional mitzvahs, there's action mitzvahs. I always found this Magen Avraham very difficult to teach, very difficult to understand. What do you think?
I actually think that the Magen Avraham's distinction is true, but it proves the opposite point. Meaning, you can't say Asher Kishalom because it's not true. That's the basic line. Right? But you can do the mitzvah because the mitzvah is a mitzvah. And in this case, the mitzvah is Amira. The bracha shouldn't even according to those who don't align with me.
In this case, they should.
They should, because that's the very mitzvah. The mitzvah is to say a bracha. It's not a lie.
So you want to say, Pum Fakir.
Fakir, the bracha, because of his very distinction.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, anybody else want to throw in another Hezber into this Magen Avraham? Rabbi Love, what do you think? What did you think about this Magen Avraham? Okay, no, I thought maybe you had some a good Hezber in terms of that. Okay, so basically, how does it come down? La halacha, as I said, the Bach, and even the Magen Avraham himself, at the end, the Magen Avraham himself, this is the part that people often leave out. He says, but... I'm sorry?
No, I think what he wants to say, I guess, is that the way they call it. You know, why are we being matted to say brachos for mitzvah? Is because even though there may not be a chiyuv ha-mitzvah, there's a chiyuv ha-mitzvah.
Yeah? Right.
You mekayim the mitzvah min ha-Torah. You mekayim the mitzvah. And therefore, you know, the only argument is on the bracha, yeah? But similar to what you were saying, but there's a kiyum hamitzvah.
Right.
Here, where the entire mitzvah is obviously only a drabana. Who said you're being mekayim anything? What are you being mekayim about? Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's possible to begin.
Maybe. Lahalacha, the Magen Avraham himself says v'ha'ikar kedivrei habach. That part people often leave out. The Magen Avraham himself says that the Bach is correct. With all his explanations, fundamentally the Bach is correct, that women, if they want to, they can make the bracha for themselves. The question is, what about being motzi men? That's a whole separate question. That's about whether someone who's on level X, as they say in Israel, can be motzi someone who's on level Y. If you in fact hold that women are chayav, are only chayav in this mitzvah because they're taking it upon themselves, they're only a rishus. How can a Rishus be motzi a chova? Some Rishonim say that's okay, but most Rishonim say that's the way we paskin, that's not okay. So it's certainly better, if possible, to avoid having to have a woman be motzi a man. But certainly if a woman is on her own, and no one's around, you know, you shouldn't wait 3 days to go look for somebody in the bungalow colony to make the bracha. There is one other Hezber that's given in some of the Achronim, because in certain Kabbalistic literature, they go crazy about women drinking the wine. There's certain Kabbalistic traditions that women shouldn't drink. Oh, everybody knows that. It's nice. Baba Kam, Baba Basra, we don't know, but we know that. It's so funny what Yidden know, right? That stuff, even little children get to know. But, you know, whatever. Don't get me. Okay, so there is a Kabbalistic tradition that women should not drink the Havdalah wine. Yes, there is such a tradition. You never heard that?
They get hairy.
What?
You never? I thought you.
No, he said what?
You never heard that?
Why not?
You really grew up in Queens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the height of the candle is the height of the
husband's shrine. Okay. Uh-huh. So basically, so since some Achronim say, since there's a minhag, since there's a Kabbalistic injunction against women drinking the wine. And since women, if they would make the bracha, what are you going to do with the wine? It's adif, therefore the minhag developed that it was adif that men should drink the wine rather than women drinking the wine. And so therefore, that was the direction that they went in. Yes?
I wanted to point out another nafkamina.
Yeah, that's what I want to get to. Okay, that was the first nafkamina, potentially maybe the women's issue.
No, even on the women's issue. Right. If you hold that women should only be, you know, yotze, men, keep in mind that the man
already was
yotze, right? There's only yotze, there's no cultural arrangements over there.
Correct.
It's a chayim. So it's no better for the man if you heard kiddush in the shul.
If you hold this no arrangements.
She's not chayim.
What do you mean? If she's not chayiv.
You're being choshish for the sheet that she's not chayiv, and therefore she should not say her own abdomen.
Right.
She should also not be yotzi from her husband if he was already yotzi, because
exactly.
The grave is madashah.
Right. Okay. Yes.
I seem to remember a discussion about bracha on the ner, and that women may not, even if they're chayiv in abdomen, may not be chayiv in that. And it doesn't somebody suggest that because it's all rolled into one, therefore...
There's discussion, but we're not going to get to the ner today.
But is that something that should... Is that
yeah, that's a whole question of what the nature of the bracha on the ner is. We have that's a whole also a beautiful lungus. It's a whole question, what's the nature of the bracha on the ner? Because why do we make a bracha on the ner? We should make a bracha every day. We have fire. What's the bracha on the ner? If it's a birch sanenin in the classical sense, because I'm getting hana from this, so I should make a bracha every time I turn on an incandescent light, or every time I turn on a flame.
That's when fire was created.
So?
It's the birthday.
So then it's not a birch sanenin in the classic sense, correct?
Okay.
So that's an interesting question. Exactly, the nafkamina between whether one views the birch saner. And the same question comes up by the Birchas HaBisamim as well. Does one view it as fundamentally a Birchas HaNehanim or a Birchas HaShevach? Is when do you do the fingernail thing? If you view trying to use the light in a way that you get hana from it, right? To be able to determine the difference between your fingernails and your skin. If you view it as a Birchas HaNehanim, so when should you be doing it?
After
you say the bracha, because... Aser lanos me'ala mazeh b'loy bracha. First you make a bracha, and then you partake of the hanah. First you make the bar mitzvah, then you eat the piece of cake or the cookie. So therefore, you should first make the bracha and then do this. On the other hand, if you say it's fundamentally a birchas shevach, which seems to be the way we do it, because or a birchas mitzvah or something like that, what's going on? Why don't we make a birchas on light every day? So Maurice says, because it was created that night. It means that there's some sort of birchas shevach for the phenomenon of fire. So if it's a birchas shevach for the phenomenon of fire, when do you make the bracha? You make the bracha, not over Lasiyasan. You make the bracha. First, I heard the brachim. I hear the thunderbolts. I see the lightning. And then I make the bracha. I experience the phenomenon. And then I give Shevach to Rabbi Shalom for that phenomenon. I get up in the morning, and then I say, Amav Yoshena, etc. Meaning, I experience the phenomenon. So, it's not so simple. So there are some people who are machmir to do both. There's some people who, that's a brisker chumrah. There's some people who look at their hands before the bracha, and then they look at the bracha, and then they look at the bracha again.
If that doesn't work, they're one. Yeah. If it's they're being nehneh milamazel without a bracha.
Okay, so that's... Oh, obviously, every chumrah has a certain kula, every kula has a certain chumrah, right? But there are some briskers, and even the more modern wing of the briskers also do this as well. Rav Lichtenstein does this as well. So, again, it's not, you should just be aware of things that are floating around there.
What do you do?
What do? I'm a simple Jew. I do, after we make the bracha, we do it. Because that's what I saw. That's what I saw growing up.
What's the category of bracha? The first one was briskers, and the second
Birchas Shevach of some kind. Okay. It's not Birchas Mitzvah. You don't say Asher Kishan Tzav Tzivanu Levarech Al HaMa'oros, right? You say Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh. We acknowledge God as the originator of fire. Okay. What's another nafkamina, whether it's Deiraisa or Durabanan? And even if it is Deiraisa, what the Makor is? What's another possible nafkamina? Another possible nafkamina is the Gemara in Psachim says, at least possibly, the Gemara in Psachim says that you're supposed to ensure that in Kiddush you have Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim. You're supposed to make sure that you say Zecher. We talked about this in one of the Kiddush shiur. So the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Aleph asks, if in fact you have to have Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush, because Zachor v'Zacharta. The Gemara Psachim says, because it says Laman Tiskor Siyom Tzeis Chamer Eretz Mitzrayim. And it says Zachor Siyom Shabbos L'Kadsho. And therefore, there's a sushtel, there's a comparison between Kiddush and Zechir Tzitzis Mitzrayim. So therefore, you should make sure to have Zechir Tzitzis Mitzrayim Havdalah. And nobody does that. So the Minchas Chinuch asks this, as they say, Eisen Akasha. What's the answer? What's the answer? The answer probably is, when the Gemara says that, even if you hold like the Rambam, that it's under the rubric of Zachar, so Hashem Sikadsho, still, as long as you mention it once during the course of Shabbat, You are bin mazkir at Tzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't have to be necessarily every second that you engage in some act on Shabbos. So this is a discussion in the Achronim. What's another possible nafkamina? Another possible nafkamina is something I didn't see. I did see discussed in a very long keta en passant by the Netziv of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin is well known as the Rosh Yeshiva of Valazhin, but before he was known, he used to just sit write Svarim, not the Hemek Davar, but he wrote that later. But he wrote Svarim. No one knows. There's a story in the Yeshiva world that, you know, he got married. And they thought, oh, he's a big Talmud Chacham. He's not such a big Talmud Chacham. His father-in-law didn't think he was such a big Talmud Chacham. And then, because he sat and he wrote these books, and then he found out. He wrote Kamatan Mechilta, Kamatan Sifrei, Kamatan. He did all these books that the average Talmid Chachamim weren't dealing with. So the Hemek Shaila, Kuf Samach Vav, he has a long discussion about Kiddush and Havdalah. And there, he writes, interesting. He says, there's a Gemara that Paskins, and the Rambam brings this down, Lahalacha, that you're allowed to, after Plag HaMincha on Shabbat, you're already allowed to daven Maariv and say Havdalah, if you're forced to. If you have a Dvar Mitzvah, you have to go somewhere. Doesn't mean you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. But you're allowed to, just like you can do it on the front side, Rav Tzoli Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, you can also daven Motzei Shabbos Maariv after Plag HaMincha on Saturday afternoon, and B'yotzei Zayin Maariv and Havdalah, and then the minute Shabbos is out, run out and do whatever you need to do. So what should we call it? So Pashtus says the Netziv, if you say that it's based on Lahavdil Ben HaChol Ben HaKodesh, it's very hard to accept that halacha. Because fundamentally, it says you're supposed to be Mavdil Ben HaChol Ben HaKodesh, it's still Kodesh. You can't do that. On the other hand, if it's fundamentally part and parcel of the idea of b'knisaso u'b'yitziaso, once Plag HaMincha has passed, you are at least on, as they would say in Hebrew, you're at least on the Nekudat HaTefer. You're right? What's the Nekudat HaTefer? You're on the border. You're at least in the neighborhood of Yitzias HaShabbos. So therefore, there, according to that, in the Rambam Paskins LaHalacha, if Brian brings this down in Halacha, Perek Chavtes, Halacha, Yod, Aleph, Yesh lo lom lakash al kos berav Shabbos mibod yom apisha lo nichnas Shabbos. V'chein mavdil al kos mibod yom apisha adayin hi Shabbos. Shemitzvah zechir la amra bein b'shas knisoso v'yitziyoso bein kodem l'shah zu kim'at. Interesting. It's not exactly you have to do it. You have to endow this time with a certain flavor so that it envelops the day of Shabbos. So this might be a nice nafkamina as well, whether halakha l'maisa you can follow that gemara or not, whether you paskin that gemara or not. So that's just a third possible nafkamina. Okay? Let's just say a few. I had a lot more to say, but okay. Let's just say a few more, one or two more things about the question of what are you not allowed to do before Havdalah, and what role does Havdalah play that allows you to do it? I may not get to Havdalah al-Hakos, but at least let's say something about Havdalah in Tefillah. Okay? Pashtus, at least Pashtus, until Shabbos is Shabbos, until astronomically it's not Shabbos anymore. It's interesting, and that's the way, if you woke up, you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's what I would say. I would say that there's a chiyuv to keep Shabbos. And what happens if Shabbos ends at 8, and you're still singing Shal Shudah songs and having a kumzitz and doing all these things, and it's 10 o'clock? So it's still Shabbos. You've extended Shabbos. Tosefa Shabbos. You're usher to do malacha. Midin Tosefa Shabbos. And until you do Havdalah, there's an Isur Malacha proper in the same categories of Lamed Tes Malachas. Okay? And we don't have to get involved in the whole question, is Tosefes Shabbos real Shabbos, or is it not real Shabbos? Is it only an extension of the Isur Malacha? There's an Isur Malacha, period. It's interesting, though, that if you look in the Gemara, in the Gemaras, in Pesachim and in Shabbos, the formulation is very, very daunting. But it's very weird in the sense that it's not what I would have expected. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Nun says as follows: Asur lo la'adam shiyase chafatzav kodem shiyavdil. Very strange formulation. Just said Asur la'adam lasos melacha kodem shiyavdil. Or the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun, when the Gemara talks about, you know, working on Erev Pesach and Erev Shabbos, and then it brings in a brisa, ha oisim melacha b'motzoi Shabbosos b'motzolus yomtiv ena roa simin bracha la'oila. Very strange. What do you mean ena roa? She say it's usher. You get, you know, you don't get kares because in Zmanta instead of Shabbos, you don't get kares. It's only an iser essay, whatever, la, whatever. You don't get kares. But why such a strange formulation? So some people say strange formulation, but too bad. It's still the average Havana is that until you make Havdalah, you're usher in Malacha, period. That's the position of most Rishonim, and you're usher in all the regular Malachos. Parenthetically, Rashi, in that Gemara there, in Pesachim, has a totally different Havana of that Gemara. Rashi says, Kola Ose Malacha B'motzoi Shabbos has nothing to do with Havdalah. He says, Kola Ose Malacha She, it means that someone is like sitting there with a stopwatch. And the minute, he makes Havdalah, but the minute Shabbos is technically over, he goes and immediately makes Havdalah and starts working. He doesn't add Michol al HaKodesh. Rashi says, Eino lechvod Shabbos, she'eino mosif Michol al HaKodesh. Rashi seems to say that a halacha of Tosefes Shabbos is a din in kavod Shabbos. Part of the kavod that you show Shabbos is that you don't kick him out of the door like a, you know, an unwanted guest. That you kick him out right away, right? It was used to be, when I was a kid, there was a Saturday Night Live skit about the thing that wouldn't leave. There was a great skit about, you know, the house guest that comes and like every day. This Gemara, right? It says the first day you give him this, the second day until they realize that it's time to leave. That, you know, that we need to get on with our life. Okay, but Rashi says the din in kavod Shabbos that you should be mostly Michol HaKodesh. It has nothing to do with Havdalah. But most Rishonim says do with Havdalah. If you do Malacha before Havdalah, even though it's 10 o'clock at night, Ein Aro Simen Bracha La'olam. So what does that mean? It should say it's Usser. So there are some Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yerucham, and it's cited by the Ramah, that say that, you know what? In Achanami. You're not usher in all malachos once astronomically Shabbos is over. When astronomically Shabbos is over, finished. The definition of malacha, the lamites malachos that you guys have been studying all years is not applicable. Only malacha shel tircha. Only malacha shel tircha is usher. The Ramah cites this. La halacha, we don't paskin like that, Rabbeinu Yerucha. We don't pass on it, right? We say it's usher. Even though it's 10 o'clock at night, if you haven't made Abdullah, you can't turn on a switch. You can't turn on your TV set. Because it's usher. What l'chora is behind this shita? This shita, I think, is l'chora connected to this language of the Gemara. Ha'ose, usher olam shiase chafatz of kodim shiavdil. It doesn't say it's an isser malacha. It says, what's the problem? The problem is that we're afraid you're going to forget about Havdalah. That once you have the mitzvah, Ramya Alecha, just like in other mitzvahs, once you have the mitzvah, you're not supposed to go and engage in other things. And the Rabbeinu Yerucham basically says it's not a halacha in Isra Malacha, it's a halacha in Hesach Hadas of some kind. It's a fascinating shita. Now, the halacha, we who paskin not like Rabbeinu Yerucham, and we who say that it's all usher, it could be that even for us, it may be that the definitions of malacha are the classical lamites definitions, but b'mahuto, the real reason for it is in order so that you should not do anything before you do Havdalah. It's kind of similar to like the Gemara says, usher lasos chafatz of kodim shiyispalel, in the morning. It's a din. Now there's no, it's not an isser malacha, I can't turn on a light or shave. It's an isser of getting involved in something before you approach God. L'sof l'al hadam. So there may be something similar. And it's interesting, if you look in the Griz al-Haramba, Ravelvel says that this is also the language he wants to hold, that that's the Rambam Shita as well. He wants to hold that the Rambam, in his formulation of Havdalah, when the Rambam talks about, Rambam says, Osur l'odom lechol lishtos yain mishikidesh yom atshi kadesh. V'chei mishiyetze hayom osur l'hatchil lechol v'lishtos asun lochol litom klom atshi avdil. Etc. And the Griz makes a big deal about the fact that the Rambam puts together Achila and Shasiya together with the Isser of Melacha there. Fundamentally, it's rooted in the same issue. It's not that there's a Kedusha Shabbos issue here, but it's an issue of you're not supposed to eat, just like with other mitzvahs. You're not supposed to eat because you're supposed to get involved in that mitzvah. So that's an interesting issue to explore in terms of Havdalah. Okay. So we looked at a couple of Yesodos. Yesh harbe yoter malumar here. I didn't get involved in the relationship between the Havdalah b'tfilah and Havdalah kos. Rabbi Salvechik, Zichron Levrach, has a beautiful, beautiful Yortzeit shiur in the second volume. The Rav has three shiurim on Kiddush and Havdalah. The first one, which is Be'inyan Kiddush v'Havdalah, that's what it's called, discusses a very nice relation. Talks about the relationship. What exactly does it mean that when we make Havdalah in shul, in davening, then we can do work? But when we can't eat until we do Havdalah HaKos. What is this? Voodoo? What does it have to do? What does the kos have to do with achila? What is this? So he has a very nice Yortzeit shiur for those of you who want to explore that. Again, if everyone can help out and put away some sfarim, and of course clean up, and obviously we all wish you tzeisham, shalom. Obviously, we'll continue. Obviously, everyone's going to continue to learn and have a seder during the summer, of course. There's a lot to learn anyway. It's a good time to do zvachim and erchin and all the things we don't get a chance to do during the year. Yes?
I know there's an inyan of Kiddush b'makom suda, but why, I was just thinking, like, why on the other end don't we do it according to the Rambam? Why don't we say where we say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos? Why don't we stick in the real Kiddush there?
The Rav has a discussion a little bit about that in that Yortzeit Shir.